Rusty Quill Presents Chapter and Multiverse.
My friend, please, come quickly. I simply must get this off my chest. Things have gone rather skew-iff with our superhero protagonists, I must say. Last time I was telling you about their battle with Wilt in her underground lair, and I thought things couldn't get any more nail-biting. But I was clearly wrong. This has massive implications for... Oh, apologies. I should explain myself. Here's what happened.
Hello and welcome to Chapter and Multiverse, the actual play podcast where we explore the same city across multiple parallel universes. I am your game master, Maddie Searle. My pronouns are she, her, and today we are playing the finale of Masks, A New Generation, which is designed by Brendan Conway and allows players to take on the role of young superheroes. But before we go any further, I must introduce our wonderful and talented players. Could you please let me know your name and pronouns and your character's name and pronouns, starting with Lydia?
Hi, I'm Lydia, pronouns they, she. I am playing Minnie Smithson, pronouns she, her, who has just met Jim, her old college buddy. No, terrifying monster from another dimension.
Excellent. And Pip?
Hello there, I'm Pip Gladwin, and I will be playing, for the final time, Joseph Teller, maybe aka Zenith, who knows, and we're both he, him, and scared.
Fair. And Ahmed?
Hello, I'm Ahmed Al-Jabri, and I am not very happy for this being episode 18. I'm playing Adib bin Yaslam, aka The Turban. Adib's pronouns are he and him.
Perfect. And Lowry?
Hey, I am Lowry Ann Davis, and I am playing Blade with Morgan, aka Siphon, aka got quite a lot going on right now. What? Oh no. Families, eh?
Exactly. And so last we left off, you had found your way into Wilt's lair where she had been working on some kind of weapon, which she has just used to open a portal to a parallel world where the home of the Ravening, an alien species that Minnie is aware of, have destroyed the civilization on their home planet, and one of them is with you right now. So, as you're facing down this six-limbed, beclawed, hairy beast with this kind of trunk-like appendage, what would you like to do?
Minnie will squeal and take out her tiny laser gun and wants to shoot it right in... Seems like it's got lots of eyes, so possibly the most sensitive area. And I'm going to draw on the fact that you said that Minnie knew what this creature was, to assume that she knows the most sensitive area is the trunk.
Yes.
So it's just a really, it's like an elephant. It's like very sensitive and it's able to pick up both a log and a penny. you can actually ride these creatures. Just not advised. Only once.
Yeah.
Only
yeah. Once. The ride of your life. And
but anyway, yes. Yeah, and you shouldn't because animal cruelty. But anyway, she shoots it in the face with a laser gun. So
perfect.
I'm going to say that that's unleash your powers, because while it is equipment that she's using, she is using her powers to turn it into an actual useful weapon. Does that sound correct?
Ooh, I would suggest that it's more of a directly engage a threat.
Cool.
That's okay with you.
Yep. Roll them dice. Ooh, 2 sixes.
Yo.
Sixes. Pew, pew, pew.
Excellent. So, yeah, please describe to me how you severely injure this alien having just burst out from a swirling green portal.
Yeah, so it comes through the portal, and he's like, no, 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 and whips out the tiny gun and a massive light beam that does not match the scale of the gun. It's like, you know that men in the original Men in Black,
where
he gets
where
a
I
tiny
was
gun and they're like, no, 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 don't touch that one. Yeah, so this kind of thing. And it's like, and it's like, Minnie is holding it a bit wildly, and so the aim is not a strong point, but in this case it works out for the best because I just laser gun through the trunk and the face is grim.
Oh.
Of the two things, I'm going to say that she avoids the blows and also doesn't... So do I also need to inflict conditions on this creature or can I kill this creature and by doing that I have taken something from Wilt? Like, how is that working mechanically?
Yes, I am going to say that essentially it's going to take three hits to bring this creature down, and you've already done one big tasty hit.
Yeah, cool.
And it is unfortunately a kill this thing situation.
Fair enough. In which case, taking something from it is going to be half its face.
Yeah.
It's a very squelchy thing, right?
Ooh.
It's
yeah.
It looked pretty horrific to start with, bits everywhere. And
if
so
anything, you've improved
made it,
it
worse.
Oh, yeah!
Is it better? Is it worse? Who can say? Maybe both.
It's a matter
depends
of taste.
Depends on your aesthetics, you know?
It's angry now, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you manage to avoid it as it charges towards you, and because Adib is standing sort of off to the side behind you, it just charges into him and knocks him down.
No! But I got a 12, so I got to avoid the blows and not the what? No.
I was planning to attack it anyway.
Okay. Phew.
All right. So Adib.
Engage or do I take a powerful blow?
I think in this case you are just winded. I don't think it's enough to be a powerful blow.
We haven't established how large this creature is. Are we talking rabbit or elephant?
Teenage elephant.
Ooh, specific. I like it.
About the size of like a smart car.
Right.
All right.
Cool.
So I will roll to engage this creature. Okay. So I got rolled an 8.
Yay.
Nice.
Woo. Excellent.
I'm going to create an opportunity. Cool. I am going to use my ribbons to wrap its eyes thingies.
Nice.
So it gives an opportunity for somebody else to jump in.
I am going to say that if you are choosing to take this opportunity to blind the creature or to cover the eyes of the creature, it is going to reach out and try and slash at you with one of its curved claws. So I think, Adib, you must take a powerful blow, please.
Checks out.
Right. That is a 9.
You have to choose one. You lash out verbally, you give ground, or you struggle past the pain and mark two conditions.
All right, so I will give ground because I will jump on it, wrap my ribbons all over its face, and it's scratching on me, but it's still dashing in front. It's trying to catch on me. It's just rampaging all over the place. So I have no control of what's going to happen, but it's blinded for a minute.
All right. Does anyone want to take advantage of the blinded creature?
Yes. I think now that the creature is blind, injured, sprinting around the place with I'm kind of imagining Adib on its back with all the, like, standing on its back with all the ribbons, like, wrapped around its head, like, holding on, I would like to position myself in the way of the like, try and get around in front of it. And across from where I am, I'm going to pull the Kasarigama out. I'm going to swing it, throw the chain, wrap the chain around like a pillar and pull it tight and like pull it down over my shoulder and pull it tight and create like a low trip wire. I want this thing to hit the chain, tumble, maybe slam into a wall. I'm hoping Adib is able to get, you know, himself out of there to not get hurt, but we're in the action now, so that is my plan. What would you like to call that?
I think it would still be directly engage a threat.
Great.
In this case.
Okay. That is really bad for me. That's a 3.
Oh, oh no. Like, I was thinking of throwing you something from the team pool, but even that isn't...
Not worth it.
It's not...
Not worth it. This is how I die. Let's do this.
You don't die. At worst, you feel a bit guilty because Adib gets hurt.
What happens to me?
I think you send out the chain of your new and less adept weapon and try and attach it to a pipe on the other side of the room, and unfortunately you're just not used to the weight of this, and you kind of undershoot it, and before you can pull it back and try again, the creature just kind of tramples over it, and your opportunity is lost.
Okay, does it trample over me?
It doesn't trample over you, but it kind of, as its clawed feet kind of stamp on the chain, it kind of yanks it out of your hand. So it's now kind of underneath the creature.
Okay. It took something from me.
As the only thing that isn't a friend in this room that she's not afraid to touch, Morgan is going to flying rugby tackle
yes.
the animal, because we've got to bring it back. And when she touches it, she's going to try and absorb as much of its energy as she can, like put
slurp,
it to sleep
slurp,
and
slurp.
Oh boy.
Strengthen herself.
Slurp.
Amazing.
Uh-oh. That's a 13.
Yo.
Incredible.
Beefy.
Beefy, beefy. So, yeah, I will take from them their energy and their awakeness.
I'm going to abide by the rule of threes, and I'm going to say that you can, because this is a creature that you've never encountered before and it's very strong and powerful, you can definitely take a lot of its energy from it, but you can't take everything.
Okay.
And it's still going to take one more successful roll to fully take it down.
Well, in that case, yeah, I create an opportunity for my allies.
If you're not resisting the blows, you have to put yourself in the line of fire, and one of
yeah,
its
sure.
limbs kind of reaches back to try and grab at you.
So that's a 9.
A 9. So you choose one from the lash out verbally, give ground, or mark two conditions.
I take two conditions. I get hurt. Like, obviously I do, don't I? Because I'm directly touching it. And it is all flailiness and grossness.
Yeah, as you touch it and you can feel the energy draining out of it, it, in its last kind of burst of energy before it becomes more lethargic, it just sort of shakes its back and flings you onto the ground and takes a bite out of your shoulder.
Ooh. Okay, so I scream. I'm angry and maybe a little hopeless, because it's like, oh my gosh, I'm now facing Wilt, and not only am I facing Wilt, who I was terrified of facing anyway, she has access to alien monsters.
Yeah.
Hey, so do you!
That's true, I do! I have access to an awesome alien.
We have the greatest alien monster of all on our team.
Wow!
Our friend!
Yeah. Alright, so what I want to do is, since I'm wrapping its eyes and it's rampaging everywhere, I want to uncover its eyes enough only to see Wilt in front of it.
Spicy. Spicy, spicy,
yes,
spicy.
Indeed.
Basically, I'm trying to guide it to go dash and fight her.
Ooh, I think that might be an Unleash Your Powers
yeah.
roll.
Okay. That is an 8 minus 1. That's a 7. That's a hit.
Yep. Amazing. Yes, unstable and temporary, but I think if you angle it so that you can kind of manipulate where its head is looking
yeah.
and then reveal some of its eyes.
I'm going to tunnel vision it only to Wilt as
yeah.
much as I can. And once it starts running there, I'm just going to jump off.
Absolutely. It, in its mind, it's just been attacked, and then it sees someone looking threatening and is going to be like, okay, I'm going to attack you. And so it runs at Wilt and makes for her with its huge claws, and she is going to reach out a hand and touch one of its terrible muscular limbs with the long claw at the end, and it's just going to wither in front of you. It's going to shrivel up, and you can see the kind of the muscles and the veins just becoming so much weaker and so much almost like paper.
The whole creature or just the limb?
Just the limb.
Okay.
So is that a hit that knocks it out?
I think that's another weakening. I'm going to need another hit from one of the main characters.
Did Wilt get any hits by this? It would be like this creature directly engaged.
I think she is going to take the afraid condition, because she did not expect this creature to turn on her. And so as she is reaching out with her barely exposed fingers grabbing onto the limb of this creature, you can see in her eyes, like, they're darting around, just like, why is this happening? This is not how this was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm. While it's facing the other way, Minnie's gonna laser it up the backside.
Fantastic. Please directly engage a threat with your laser.
Okay, we're directly engaging a threat, lasering its bum. Cool, that's a 9!
Woo-hoo!
Which is good, because it's plus danger and her danger is 0, so I would say, as Minnie, like, it's in its weakened, withered state, Minnie's laser thing like rips it in half. And much like a deep sea creature that has been exposed to the lack of pressure in our atmosphere that kind of go bloop and their guts might explode a bit, like Minnie may get splattered a bit as this creature from another universe, its innards are exposed to an outside that is not quite right. And Minnie is decorated in a way that for once does not suit her.
I think that is very fitting.
Which I would say gives her the condition insecure.
Oh.
If that's the result of that blow.
Yeah, I think that works for me.
Especially in front of the super cool dressed evil villain person.
By doing that, the laser doesn't hit Wilt behind, but like if I'm going to create an opportunity, the explosion of guts splatters both of us, splashes Wilt and Minnie. So Minnie takes the condition insecure because gross, and it temporarily like blinds or disorients Wilt, which gives the others an opportunity.
Perfect. Yeah, I love that. That's great. So Wilt is temporarily stumbling at trying to wipe the viscera away from her eyes. Who would like to take advantage of this?
Morgan's going to say to Adib, cover her hands.
Oh, I am going to unleash everything I have to cover her hands. And if there are any coats or stuff around, I'm going to use them as well. I'm going to throw everything.
Yeah, I think there are dirty rags around used for cleaning equipment and stuff.
I will focus on using the dirty
rags. Yeah, the dirtiest, grimiest, oiliest rags. Great. So yeah, unleash your powers, please.
And that is a fail.
No. Oh no. By how much?
3.
Oh.
Oof. So yeah, unfortunately, she is too quick and she kind of bats the flying cloth out of the air with her well-practiced moves.
I just like the idea of, like, you know, in sort of Matilda where all the stuff is going around her, but it's like that, but there's just like smelly, damp cleaning cloths flipping slightly, like, wetly and grossly through
you
the air.
You accidentally clean the blood and guts off her, so she's actually in a better state now.
Yeah, she just grabs one out of the air and uses it to wipe her face, and she's like, that's much better.
Joseph is going to, I feel like the creature has, like, landed on my Kasarigama chain, you know, with the corpse, so I'm like, I'm not getting that thing out from underneath it. I'm going to turn, so she came into the room that we were in, right?
Yes, you are in the main laboratory.
So I am going to kind of whirl away from the fight as sort of these guys, Adib's trying to, like, wrap Will up with the threads. Morgan's up there. Minnie's a little further away, covered in monster guts with the smoking laser gun. And as I kind of sort of whirl away from the fight, I'm going to just to Morgan as I kind of move past, I'm kind of look at you, and there's a sort of apologetic kind of trust me kind of look in my eyes.
Yeah.
And I rush over. As I'm running, I'm heading straight towards that shrine, and as I move, I pull like a phosphorescent flare from my belt, crack it like bursts into like fire and smoke, and I just hold it not against, close to that wall where all those photographs are, and I just go, hey, and just try and get her attention.
Psychological war, I love it.
I would like to provoke, please. I'm trying to get her, effectively, to take her attention off them, hopefully create some sort of opening. It's like, come at me, like, you know. Or potentially, like, I'll do it. What are you going to do? Are you going to back down? Are you going to come at me? Like, whatever, what's it going to be? Nice. So that is rolling plus superior. I love a good dice roll. That would be nice. I think I deserve one today. That's a 9.
Yay!
Amazing. On a 7 to 9, I can choose one for her from the list, or if you raise it to a 10, they just do what you want.
Gonna give a team by, like, essentially by pointing and being like, yeah, look at him!
I think Joseph will get her attention, and then I think it's just gonna say, stand down. I was holding this flare next to all those pictures of Morgan's parents.
She is shaken up because things have not gone the way that she expected, and she has quite a significant sentimental attachment to these objects, and she's not quite ready to see them destroyed even in this critical moment. And so she pauses and says, "All right, we can have a talk. We can have a talk."
So they do stand down?
Yeah, she holds out the weapon that she used to create the portal and just sets it down on the ground in front of her.
Cool. I will stay where I am. That's me. Mm. I will stay where I am.
Morgan will say, "And the gloves."
And she will press a button on her wrist again, and her fingertips will be sealed once again.
No. I wrap the ribbons almost like a mitten now, or all around the ribbon, like a glove.
Yeah, now she can't move her fingers. She's like, "All right, fine." And at this point, now that you have a moment to think in this combat situation, we're going to take a short break and be right back. And we're back. So Wilt has just placed her weapon down on the ground and is looking at all of you, still with drips of viscera falling from her clothing and face.
I'll throw the flare to the side, so not at the pictures. Toss the flare to the side. I'll pull the little grappling hook gun, aim, shoot it down, like through the finger guard where the trigger of the gun is, lock into it, pull it, and just reel the portal gun into my hands with the grappling hook gun.
Amazing. I'm torn because I kind of want you to roll for it, but I also just want it to happen.
I want you to roll for it to see if you accidentally create another portal.
Do it as an unleashed powers, because you're using a grappling hook. Like, this is definitely something that could go wrong.
True, but this is the first time I'm using this piece of gear, so when I use a new piece of gear for the first time to directly engage, unleash powers, or defend, I get to use superior instead of danger. Or freak, or whatever the stat is. So this does give me a little bit of a bonus, but as we know, I'm rolling like absolute... a word I can't say on this channel. Right. That's a 12.
Woo! No.
I do a cool thing that I easily could have accomplished by walking over there and picking it up.
but Joseph's having an identity thing.
Yeah, he needed
here,
this.
Right? Like,
yeah.
He
right.
needs this.
You're right.
It's cool.
You're
you should
right.
clear all conditions.
I don't have any.
Yeah. Oh. Take the condition. Cool.
I do that. I'm not going to describe it again. It's very cool. Mm. No, I won't roll on this just yet because I know there's other stuff going on. I'm going to check out this weird gun.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, no. That's entirely fair.
Over the break, Larry made a good point. Can we establish whether the portal that the terrible monster came through is still open or not?
It is closed.
Okay, that's probably good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a momentary let the thing out and then close again.
Good.
So you are portal-less for now.
But Morgan's going to, obviously on point, why you call me sister?
Well, Mab and Math were like parents to me.
Okay, good. Just checking. Why are you doing this?
They did everything for me, and it's my duty to carry out their legacy.
What do you want from me? And I'd like to pierce the mask.
Yeah, absolutely. Please roll mundane.
Not very mundane. Okay, I get a 5.
She's very hard to read. She's got a steely expression that is very hard to interpret. Despite the fact that her plans have gone so awry, and inside she must be fuming, she is maintaining a very composed expression. She'll just say, "I want you to help me."
Well, no. No. Obviously, no. This is a terrible idea. What, you wanna destroy the world?
It's broken. It's broken beyond repair. We can only rip it up and destroy it and make something new from the ashes.
What ashes? What new? What do you think that's gonna look like?
I don't know. Wilt is kind of thrown by what you're saying, and she just responds with, "But Mab and Math thought this was the right thing to do, and I have to do it for them because they can't."
Well, obviously, you're just unthinkingly following their orders. They've been dead for 18 years? Obviously, no! What? This is so frustrating because Morgan really, really wants to, like, put her to sleep, but you can't touch her. She has to touch skin to do that.
As the conversation between Morgan and Wilt seems to get to an impasse. Minnie's gonna kind of step up, and she's frantically typing on the tablet. It's like, I have contacted Targ, and they have totally replied, and are gonna send a crack team of superheroes that have been training for more than a week, and they are gonna come here, and they are gonna stop you, and you're never gonna be able to hurt Morgan again. And all we need is that you just tell us how. I mean, we've already stopped you, it seems, so just tell us that you're not going to do it anymore. Maybe this is provoking rather than piercing the mask. Yeah, trying to do it. It's a vague threat that people are coming, but we seem to have already won from Minnie's perspective. Like, the fight's stopped, the portal gun's taken. Mm. She's answering questions. It's cool.
So, are you wanting to get her to do something, or do you want to find out something about how she's feeling or what her plans are?
I would like to gain influence over her, really, to stop her from doing anything bad again.
Nice. So, yeah, I think that's a provoke.
That's a provoke. Cool. So there's a 6 plus 2. That's an 8.
Hey.
Fantastic. So if you are going for gaining influence over them, then, yeah, she will overreact. Mm. And she will kind of snap back at you and be like, Targ couldn't navigate their way out of a paper bag. They couldn't take me.
Minnie kind of agrees, but...
So yeah, Minnie, you have influence over Wilt now.
Ooh.
I will pile on that, so I'll also provoke. That is a 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we're just started this week, and we already have your hands tied up.
Yeah!
In mittens.
2 days on the job, baby.
She, in a fit of rage, is going to try and make a break for it and try and get after the gun in Zenith's hands. And you are still very much attached to her with your ribbons, so you can fully take advantage of this if you want to.
Before this goes down, during all of the talking, can I have spent my time investigating how this particular portal gun works? It's only been a short amount of time, but can I? Do you want me to roll on that?
Yes, please. Please do me an assess the situation.
That's a 6, so that's not a success, I don't think, or is it?
You do have some team left. I think you still have 2 team
I
in the
do.
School.
I'm going to selfishly use one of those for just me. Yeah, I'll take that for a 7.
So, yeah, you can see that this gun has taken some of the genetic material from Mab and Math post-mortem, presumably, and extrapolated the abilities from them in order to create a gun which creates a portal to a parallel universe.
Just the parallel universe, or can this gun do time?
It is essentially, yeah, it's essentially anywhere, anytime.
That's very interesting. Okay. And I know that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I think me realizing that is like a real, like, hold on a second.
I am the most powerful person in all the universes right now.
It's not that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Joseph's clearly having this realization about how this gun can open a portal to anywhere, anytime. And I think it's as he's, like, realizing that, he's looking up and Will is, like, coming at him still. Still attached, buddy.
So engage a threat or unleash? Probably engage.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, that is a 7. 6 and a 1.
Nice.
I was terrified. Right. The first one was a 1.
No.
So what would you like to do?
I am... I'm going to trade blows. Resist and avoid. Just to stop her from running forward. Because she has to stick with me. If we're fighting.
Okay, perfect. So are you going to kind of pull her back?
I'm going to pull her back and start fighting her. Because she has mittens now. And I'm going to punch her in the face.
Excellent. I think, yeah, you can absolutely do that. And I think at this point, she is going to take the condition hopeless because she is surrounded. Her weapon has been taken away. She is being beat up by someone with ribbons around her hands like mittens. This is not going to plan.
And hence, she is truly hopeless.
Yes, so she is insecure, afraid, and hopeless.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
I just feel bad now. Like, I'm gonna comfort and support Wilt, I think. Hey, it's okay.
This is a great gun. Well done, buddy.
I love this gun you made. I'm taking it, but...
And so, as a condition has been inflicted upon Wilt, she is going to try and lash out at Adib. I think what happens in this moment, as she is hopeless, is that she just kicks out a leg to a button on the wall, and you just hear a rumbling as the walls start to close in. This is presumably some kind of failsafe to destroy her work if she became compromised.
Everyone needs to get out!
Do you have any idea how this gun works? As in, how to fire it?
It is a very complicated piece of machinery, and you can't guarantee that you will open a portal to the time and place that you want. You can definitely pull the trigger, but there's no guarantee of, like, what will happen when you do that.
That's fair.
Minnie's gonna step up and use a mind blast on Wilt, and I get a plus one because I've got influence over her, and it's gonna be a mind blast that tries to, like, control her and make her stop the walls crushing
us. Yes, let's
make
it an unleash your powers.
Okay, 6 plus 1 freak plus 1 for influence is an 8.
Amazing, yes. You can definitely, for a brief amount of time, influence her to stop the walls closing in. And as soon as she's reached out with her leg and kicked this button on the wall, a kind of pained expression appears on her face. And she...
Like, I would literally... She feels a compulsion to reach out and punch again. But she's fighting it the whole way. And, like, I would argue is approaching getting a bit angry.
I think that is a very good point. Yes, I think she... As soon as she's kicked out at the button, as you describe, her leg kind of jitters. And she fights it for a couple of seconds, but soon she can't fight any longer and she just kicks the button again and the walls stop in their tracks.
And I'm going to say, so it says on a 7 to 9, I either mark a condition or you tell me that the effect is unstable or temporary. I'm going to say that Minnie does not like mind controlling people. Mm. And so even though that was very necessary to do, the idea of, like, forcing someone to do something with their body, even if it is save all our lives by pressing a button, makes her feel really horrible. So I'm going to say that she feels kind of guilty.
That makes sense. Yeah, good shout. And I think, yes, absolutely, at this point, everything that Wilt has been trying to do has been thwarted, and you can see the rage that has been boiling underneath the surface for this whole time is coming to the surface, and inside the mittens, her fists are trying to clench.
I want to try to give her one last punch, hopefully it'll knock her out.
All right, yes, please directly engage a threat.
Is 4, 5, 6, 7. Plus 0, that's a 7.
Amazing. Yes. So how would you like to do this? How would you like to take down Wilt?
With the ribbons attaching us together, I will pull her toward me and headbutt her.
Sorry, so you touch her skin?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh. I did not think that through. But I'm assuming that... Yeah, I have a turban in my head.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a turban in my head,
dude. Absolutely, 100%.
Saved by the turban.
Joseph in the background is just like, give her the turban. I'm like out of time, guys.
I like to think that your turban kind of slightly kind of pulsates and clings to your head tighter and wraps around precisely in the right configuration so that none of your skin is touching hers as you headbutt her.
Yeah, you like and shift all the Kevlar in your uniform to the front of the turban right there. Sorry, the turban like doubles in size. It just... Sorry, I'm getting overexcited now. I'm sorry.
It's amazing.
Just before she is knocked unconscious, she looks into Morgan's eyes, and you can see that there is a huge amount of guilt there for everything that she's done. And she's
take off all the conditions.
And she crumples to the floor in a heap. And you are left in this slightly wrecked laboratory with pieces of machinery that have been thrown off tables and chairs set askew by the walls starting to close in.
They stopped.
They've stopped, yeah.
Minnie turns to the others and just says very quickly, I lied, Targe did not reply. They are really bad handlers.
Yeah, I thought maybe. So all of Wilt's work is here?
Yes.
Morgan is super, super strong, having sapped energy from an alien, and is going to pummel everything, not the shrine. Will pummel anything that might look like it had research in it or whatever. Oh, this will clear my angry condition. That's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, break a bunch of stuff. Break something important.
Yeah, so Morgan will smash all of the machinery and stuff and hold her hand out to Zenith to take the gun.
Okay. I'm going to roll a dice here. Just one. You're breaking a load of stuff for at least a little bit after this fight is finished. I just want to see if I try and... Yeah, while that's going on, I quietly pull the trigger.
Oh, no.
Joseph! Oh, my God!
Just to see if anything happens. And I think really, really hard about a very specific place and a very specific time.
Okay. I am going to say that this is an Unleash Your Powers roll.
You know what, Maddie? This is the first time I'm using this portal gun.
Yeah.
It's a new piece of equipment.
Yeah, it is a new piece of equipment.
I would like to roll this with my superior, please, rather
you
than
can.
Anything else.
You can.
Maddie, that's an 11.
Oh. Oh. All right. Squeak. So, yeah, a shimmering neon green portal appears in the air in front of Joseph. And is there anything he wants to do before he steps through, or does he just go?
I turn towards you guys. I think, Morgan, you're on the other side of the room. You've just, like, shattered something. And I think as it breaks, yeah. You hear this. You remember the sound that the portals made when they appeared. You hear that sound. And you all do. And turning around, you see Joseph. And he's standing in front of the portal. He's facing this portal, this sort of silvery door that's opened up. And on the other side of it, you can faintly hear the sound of, like, small children. Almost like a playground sound a little bit, and you can kind of see like a couple of windows and a sort of like white corridor with like a sort of stucco floor and a few sort of like people in heels kind of walking past and the sounds of these children. And Joseph's going to turn back to you guys and he takes the domino mask off and just like drops it on the ground. Sorry, I have to try. And I throw the portal gun. I drop the portal gun. I don't take it with me, and I walk through the portal.
All right. So,
do we catch up with him, or is it? It's already close.
Morgan is going to yell. No!
No! I want to know. Are we chasing? Do we have a chance to chase after him?
Yeah.
If it's still open, I am going to ribbon all of us. Just pull us together and just.
Run into it
as fast as possible, grabbing it, the gun.
I mean, to be fair, Morgan's gonna run and is fast.
Anyone who wants to try and get through the portal, let's have an Unleash Your Powers.
Let me start first, because if I roll high, I'm gonna pull everyone.
Yeah, if you roll high, you can pull everyone in with you. Absolutely, ooh. That makes sense.
I don't want to roll. No, I got a 2.
Oh no!
What?
You do still have the gun, though.
No.
You do still have the gun.
Minnie is running.
Yeah, same with Morgan.
Oh. Minnie has rolled a 7.
A 7. All right. Yes, you. I managed to hover through the portal just in time. And with Morgan, what
yes.
do you get?
I've got an 8.
You managed to sprint through.
Can I? I want to grab a Deeb.
Yes.
I grab a Deeb.
I'll grab the gun. You grab a Deeb.
So a Deeb, he starts swinging and then his string just fall apart at one point and he rolls in front of you and you can...
I just scoop you up.
Put him under your arm.
Yes.
Like a rugby ball.
Oh my gosh. And we go through the portal.
Sounds like it. So yeah, you burst through the portal and feel a horrible tingling sensation on your skin as you feel you are going into a world that wasn't meant for you. And And on that note, we are going to end our campaign of masks.
Oh, damn. There it is.
No!
There you go. Adventures in Time, baby.
We weren't going to let you go away and villain yourself.
And here I was worried how I'm going to talk to my parents.
Yeah. If you ever see them again.
We met 2 days ago.
Yes. But we would die for each other across dimensions. Excellent.
This feels like an Umbrella Academy situation.
Uh-huh. It really does. Yeah. It feels so Umbrella Academy right now. I'm loving for it.
I love it. First moments of a hypothetical campaign two are just me turning around and going, what are you doing?
We're not going to let you wither away in another timeline.
Oh my goodness.
You're coming home with us. You're our friend.
That's Maddie's fault for introducing a time gun.
Yeah.
I can't. There was no way. There was absolutely. If it wasn't going to be me, I'm shocked you didn't want to use it.
Oh.
Or you're just a better person than I am.
I don't think she had a chance to check it out.
I'm shocked. Like, it's one of those things where I did not suspect it at all when I was planning this, but as soon as you kind of had that glimmer of a thought in your head, I was just like, of course, I should have seen this coming.
You left a time gun around.
Traumatic child soldier upbringing. I'm gonna stop that from happening. I want to be a normal boy. I don't want to be grey anymore.
So, thank you so much for listening to this rip-roaring adventure of a masks campaign that we have inflicted upon ourselves and you, the listener. And for the last time this campaign, I would like to ask each of our fantastic players where we can find them on the internet and if they have anything to plug, starting with Lydia.
I am Lydia. You can find me on Twitter at LydNicholas, and you can find me in a variety of Rusty Quill podcasts.
Fantastic. And Ahmed.
I'm Ahmed Al-Jabri, and I'm right here. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Al-Jabri, where I'm going to start complaining about how this ended, because I wanted more episodes.
And Laurie.
I'm Laurie. You can find me at Laurie Tweets and on other Rusty Quill podcasts. And I've just realized that we've just left Wilt.
No, but I had messaged Targe and said exactly what had happened and where Wilt was.
Okay.
So we've left an unconscious Wilt with no time gun with instructions to Targe.
Oh, and I destroyed her work. Okay, I feel a bit better now. Thank you. Seek me out on Twitter.
Yeah. I left you guys there in like a, you know, the city will be in safe hands, and then you all just followed me.
We were like, nope.
I'm sorry.
And speaking of, Pip, whose fault this all is, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me ruining everybody's goddamn day on Twitter, Pip_Gladwin. And I guess like any, so I GM like a lot. And the times that I get to play are more or less only when I'm recording these lovely podcasts and other actual play things with you amazing people. So, like, I gotta get that, like, that revenge ruin of someone's plan. That, like, oh, you wanted it to end this way? Boom! I gotta get that out somehow, and this is apparently my outlet. So, Maddie, I'm sorry. Listeners, you're welcome. And I'm sorry, I don't mean that. I'm glad we didn't show me out. And thanks. And this was the best outro I've ever
done. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Nailed it.
And you can find me crying over my GM's notes on Twitter and Instagram at Maddie_abstract, where there are links to all the various things that I do. And we hope to see you next time in a future campaign of Masks? From all of us here in the Space Between Worlds, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Chapter and Multiverse is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 4.0 International license. It is directed by Maddie Searle and produced by M. Lindemann, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner. The Eternal Tavern Keeper was played by Kareem Cronfley. This episode was edited by Lorianne Davis, Tessa Vroom, Maddie Searle, and Kathy Rinella, with music by Nico Bateze. Thank you for listening.